We are in the third lesson in our series about spiritual transformation. I've entitled this series, Keep the Change, referring to the plan to be moving ever forward in the process of becoming the people God wants us to be, and no more of that three steps forward, two steps back. In the communion meditation, Ted mentioned about piles of stones, memorials that we read about a lot in the Old Testament. They were called Ebenezers sometimes, the idea that thus far I've come, I've made it this far with the Lord's help. And they would have these memorials. Well, it would be good for us to do that. And I don't necessarily mean by piling up some rocks or some stones, but by just looking at some milestones in our life and recognizing, well, how far has God brought me thus far? And being determined that with His help, I'm not going to just look back or even look at this memorial, but I'm going to find encouragement in that to go forward, that He will see me all the way to my destination. That's true when we talk about spiritual transformation as well. Though it's clearly stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that those in Christ are new creations, not that they will one day be new creations, that they are new creations, we have seen repeatedly that just as a child is conceived within the womb, pure yet not mature, so we in Christ have to grow and develop once we're born again. And this is perhaps nowhere more evident than in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And that's the text we're going to be examining a bit more closely today. Just a couple of verses. It can be found on page 1763 of our Pew Bibles, should you prefer to follow along in them. If you would like to, just listen closely. Paul, once again, after laying down that salvation was only possible by grace through faith, that only by God's love demonstrated by the sending of His Son to not only live among us, but then to die on the cross for our sins, after affirming that is what we needed to be forgiven, to be saved, to be brought back in relationship with God, but also affirming that we needed the Holy Spirit to be given to us, to live within us, to dwell within us, and to direct our thoughts and our actions for us to be truly who God wants us to be, He says in chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers," and that's a general reference, so men and women in the church, "in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." In verse 2 he says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." To be conformed is to be forced into a mold. To be transformed is to change from the inside out. For the believer, it's a change that flows from what is already present inside of us. That is the Spirit of God. And we've looked at and considered this metaphor of metamorphosis in our discussion, because it is the word that Paul uses to challenge us about being transformed in Romans 12. It's the illustration that serves us well, that changing of the caterpillar to a butterfly. But notice in Paul's words in Romans 12 how, or maybe more accurately, where the transformation that Paul speaks of takes place. It's in the renewing of the mind. In the renewing of the mind. That's what he says. Don't be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. If you will, the mind, for the purpose of our illustration, is the cocoon that we have to enter into. It's not one that we spin, but one that God has prepared for the purpose of transforming us. We've been created anew, but for us to become who He wants us to be, He has created this cocoon for us, and is the mind. Now, the mind is an incredibly complex thing. Neurologists and psychologists, they do their best to study and understand how the mind works. But the best of them admit that there are mysteries of the mind that will likely always elude them. MIT professor Dr. Steven Pinker says that there's benefit for us these days to compare the mind to a computer. But he says it's too limiting to just do that. Matter of fact, he suggests that the mind is more like a network of computers, each programmed with software for specific purposes. The areas of the brain that are seeming to control cognitive thought are wired to areas that foster emotions via pathways along neurotransmitters and synapses. So our minds use the facts they assimilate through our five senses, and then those are factored in with our feelings, and they're filtered all through our previously held conceptions and convictions to formulate data and interpret it. Wow. Amazing. Computers process things in a serial manner. And though they seem to be multitasking, especially with some of the really fast processors we have these days, they really only do one thing at a time. The mind, however, is a parallel processor, Dr. Pinker suggests, working through millions of functions simultaneously. Now, computer programs are defined as intricate recipes of logical and statistical operations directed by comparisons, tests, branches, loops, and routines embedded in subroutines. Our minds were once programmed by God to serve Him and us well, but they were infected by a virus, imagine that, that has corrupted the entire BIOS. God formed us. Sin deformed us. But I have good news this morning. Christ can transform us. That's good news, isn't it? Despite the science fiction about computers and robots with artificial intelligence going berserk, maybe you've seen some of those, or read about some of those, and then they war against mankind, scientists and engineers rightly recognize these days that the danger isn't that such a device will decide on its own to do this, but rather the real concern is what it might have been programmed to do by someone with a fully functioning but malevolent mind. And isn't that the issue in it all, folks? That the concern and the problem and the evil in the world is due to minds that have been programmed by sin to act in vicious and malicious, cruel, selfish ways. That is the issue. Epistemology is the analysis of how we come to know things. Yet, it's one thing to observe a process or a microscope or our observation about how people seem to respond to things. It's quite another to truly comprehend it. And the mind is one of those things that may be beyond us ever fully finding out. There's no doubt that our minds are fitted with some pretty ingenious software. The neurons of our mind continuously and spontaneously fire for no clear reason. Now, there's people who debate about why they might be doing that, but they never cease, even in our unconscious state. The precise purpose of our dreams is something else that's debated. But no one can deny that we have them. Most psychiatrists and psychologists also confess that the mind is designed with a code of ethics. In fact, anyone who doesn't have that code of ethics, that morality, they consider them to be psychotic or psychopaths. That something's not right. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Something's wrong with their programming. Why do I go into this detail about the mind and the function and how it works? We're just scratching the surface. Is it to show how smart I am? Oh, no. Not at all. You can read and study these things for yourself. There's some wonderful resources to study about how they believe the mind works and the intricacies of it. But really, I just have to confess, I'm not sure how it all works by any means. I don't know how it all works, but I know it does. And I also know this, though I don't fully comprehend how the Holy Spirit works in the mind, when we enter into that cocoon and surrender to the process of what He's going to do there, I know it works because He works. I know that. I have experienced it in my own life, and I've known so many that have experienced it for themselves, that they have been transformed as they have entered into that cocoon time and again to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in them to change. Albert Einstein said, "Problems cannot be solved by the same level of thinking that created them." Paul says here very clearly in Romans 12, we have to think differently. We cannot expect to change or be transformed as long as we continue to think the way we used to think. The aim of our thinking must be adjusted. Consider these passages, for instance. In Colossians 3:2, we read, "Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth." Set your mind on things above. The verb tense there is present active. It's not like something you just do once and you walk away from it. It's the idea that you continue to do that. You make it a routine to set your mind on things above. It's the idea of concentrate. It's the idea of think, and think some more. But not on the earthly things, not on the things that we used to think about so much, not those things again that used to capture all of our attention, but rather to refocus and to think on things above. In Ephesians 4:24, we're told to be made new in the attitude of our minds. Hear that. Be made new in the attitude of your minds. And again, that's the idea of continuing to be in this process of being renewed in our minds. And Philippians 4:4 says, "Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Think, and think some more. We're to concentrate on spiritual things. I don't know about you, but that might mean imagining the home in heaven that Jesus prepared for you. That might be the things above that you're thinking about. And there's some merit in that. It's good to look at where we're going to be one day. But I believe that what's being said here by Paul is not just thinking about where we will be one day, but who we will be one day. And who we're to be today. And tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Till either Jesus comes or we go. In the process of that, we don't want to neglect to meditate upon what Jesus did to make this possible. We need to focus on the cross and what He endured for our sake. Hebrews 12, the first couple of verses, says that. Fix your eyes on Jesus who endured the cross because of the joy set before Him. And certainly the joy set before Him, we would think, well, he's talking about the joy of going to heaven, again, being in heaven. He knew He'd be returning to the Father. But let me tell you that I believe that what's meant there as well in context is that it gives Jesus such great joy when His followers become more like Him. And they implement and live by His teaching. They incorporate the things that He said, the things that He taught, when their mind and their heart is so focused on the things of God, like His thoughts and His mind and His heart were focused on the things of God. Think on the abundant provision of God's grace, the hope of glory, and the power of the resurrection. Once again, not just the power of the resurrection, that one day these bodies will rise again, they'll be transformed in the twinkling of an eye, they'll be changed, but think about the resurrection power that we have today. In Romans 6, once again, Paul had emphasized that we again who have been united with Christ in baptism have risen to live a new life. A new life. And if we've been united with Him like this in His death, he says, we'll be united like this in the resurrection. There's power in the resurrection for today. We're to live as born again people who've been raised from a dead life to a new life, a life that's full of vitality and power. So think. In order to be changed, you must change the way you process information before the process of transformation can really advance. I want to say that again. That's a mouthful, but I want you to get it. It's more than a play on words. We must change the way we process information before the process of transformation can advance. We need to do that. How? Well, Steve, you've already quoted scripture that says think. I get that. I'm supposed to think differently, but I have trouble doing that. Anybody have trouble doing that? Just thinking differently? You know, matter of fact, you know that old story. If I say, don't think about a white horse, you think about a white horse. So I'm not going to tell you what not to think. I'm going to tell you what to think. And that's where we need to be. We need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. We need to be listening to God about what to think. Think on those things. Concentrate. Meditate. God has created us anew to be in this process of transformation. We have to factor facts through the new program He's created for us and in us. We have to filter everything now through our beliefs and convictions that we have now, letting the Holy Spirit interpret them for us. Now, you'd be surprised if I didn't emphasize the importance of spending time in God's Word. Read it daily. Do that. Listen to it when you can't read it. It's such a blessing today to have so many resources available to us where we can listen to God's Word when we can't read it. You can use, yes, Bible Gateway. You can use studylight.org if you have access to the internet. And you can listen to God's Word in many translations. Choose the one, again, that speaks to your heart, where you really believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through it. Use that. Choose that. Obviously, there are other means you can do that. You can download it, the Word of God. You can download it onto your computer or onto your iPod or your iPad or to an MP3 player or your smartphone. You can do that. There are podcasts. There are lessons from Bible-based websites. Now, hear me, not everything on the internet, not everything that we listen to or can listen to is accurate or true. We need to always compare it again and filter it through God's Word, His Word. But the idea is to absorb the Word, the Holy Spirit-inspired Word. Meditate upon it. Recite it aloud often. Let the truth of God be the fountain from which your thoughts flow. There is great value in that for the renewing of your mind. The more that we absorb, the more that we change our thought process by the Word of God, the more that we're going to see transformation and change happening, but not just temporary change, long-lasting, forever change. As David wrote in Psalm 119, 11 through 16, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount, listen to this, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. That's the idea of reciting, repeating aloud. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts. Consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Did David, the man after God's own heart, understand the importance of that? For keeping your focus, of remembering who you are and whose you are? Remembering your purpose and what God wants from you? Absolutely. And we need to know that too. Spend much time in prayer. Talk to God. And when you talk to Him, seek answers from Him as well. Don't just tell Him what you want or pour out your heart about your difficulties, your troubles, your anxieties. I'm not telling you not to do that. Yes, do that. But don't leave it at just that. ask Him for help and seek answers from Him about what He wants you to do in your situation, in your circumstance, and wait for Him to respond. That's a missing element in prayer so many times. We talk and then we walk. We need to talk and listen to hear from God about how to walk, how He wants us to move. A hurried prayer is better than none. Don't misunderstand me, but I encourage you, take time. What if you ask a parent or a spouse or a good friend or a teacher or a counselor for some advice or ask them a question, and then you just turned around and walked away without giving them the opportunity to respond? Some of you might feel like you have people who do that to you. You might feel like that. Well, what did you ask me for if you're just going to ask and then turn a deaf ear to me? Do we do that with God? I'm afraid we do. Too much of the time. We need to wait and listen. Don't rush through it. Listen. Now, I believe that if we have spent considerable time praying through and meditating over the Word of God, that what's going to happen so many times when God gives us the answer, when He speaks to us in our heart of hearts, what He's going to do is bring to remembrance from His Word what He's already told us. He's going to bring that to mind and make it clearer. It's going to be a confirmation that this is what I want for you to do. And remember what Paul said? If we'll get it to this place, if we'll be in this process the way we should be, then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. Isn't that what he said? Then, when? When our minds are being renewed. How many of you want to know God's will for your life? How many want to know what God wants you to do today, tomorrow, the next day? And what does he want me to do? Ask him. Pray. Be in that renewal process in your mind, and he will tell you. You'll know. That's what he says. You'll know. Worship him every day. Notice I didn't say just Sundays. Every day. Bathe yourself in praise. Program your mind, but program your radio. Try doing that. Or pack your car with some Christian music CDs. Do that. Download, once again, some psalms, some hymns, some spiritual songs on your phone or MP3 player or whatever. Let the lyrics flood your soul. And yes, sing along as you are moved. How many of you have ever worked somewhere where they want you to wear hearing protection? I was in those situations just about every place that I worked, you know, except for in the insurance business. I probably should have had some hearing protection then, but I didn't. But anyway, what we used were these like earmuffs, you know, like they were almost like headphones. And I remember when I worked in the plastics company and had to wear those, I found out that I could wear my headphones plugged up to my, and we're going back now, a Walkman, while I'm working on the machines doing the setup, and it protected me from the noise they wanted to. But I was listening to Christian music and listening to the Word of God, listening to preaching. And I had a foreman who recognized what I was doing. He says, wait a minute, I don't know if those are approved. So I don't know if that's good. And I said, well, here, try it. See what you think. And he said, well, I you know what does really, I think it's fine. Yeah, that's okay. You may be able to do that too. Where you're at a lot more than you think. And once again, as we're filling our minds and our hearts with worship and praise, you'd be amazed the difference that it makes. My wife and I were traveling back from Ohio the other week, and we stopped off at a McDonald's to get some coffee. And while I was waiting for them to get things prepared, I noticed they were playing contemporary Christian music over the speaker. And I thought, that's unusual. Now, there's some places it's the norm. But I made a point of calling the manager over and telling her kudos on the choice of music. And she says, you're not the only person who said that to me. Praise God. She evidently had the liberty and she made the choice. So many times we have the liberty and we don't make the choice. We don't do it. We don't even exercise the opportunity that we have. Romans 12:1 suggests that being a living sacrifice is letting your life be a song for Him. I couldn't help but think of Casting Crowns and their song, Let My Life Song Sing to You. It's one of my favorites. I want my life to be a song. I want that. But if I want that, one of the things I'm going to have to do to reach that is to renew my mind. And I'm going to have to fill my heart and my mind with the things of God. Tell God how much He means to you, how much you need Him, and how much you trust Him. And yes, when you do hear from Him about what to do, do it. Do what He tells you to do. See, our minds are control centers directing our bodies to move. A lot of it's involuntary, where we don't think we're thinking about it, but the mind is still sending the signal. And it's those involuntary things that we think we can't change. And then we get in some bad habits, and we start doing things so repeatedly that there's these pathways, if you will, that are dug into our minds, and it's the easiest road to travel. And so we just do those things over and over and over again. And they become automatic, we think. And we think we can't change those things. I have good news for you. You can, by the power of God. Because what God does is when He makes us new, I believe He fills in those ruts that we traveled so long. And He enables us to pave some new roads and some new pathways in our mind. But we can do that with His help. You know the passage where Jesus says the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That implies that we put into practice what He instructs us to do. See, not just with the mind, but with our strength, with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, with our strength, that we act upon God's direction. As Jesus Himself said in Matthew 7:24, the wise are those who hear His words and put them into practice. You ever heard of muscle memory? Matter of fact, if you've had any injuries and you have physical therapy thereafter, many times they'll talk about muscle memory. They'll say, now your muscle remembers what it's supposed to do and how far it can move and what it can do. But when we're hurting, when we're struggling, our mind is trying to say, no, no. Our muscle's saying, I can still do that. And our mind's saying, no, no, you can't. But what are they saying? Push, push through. We have some bad habits, and our muscle memory is telling us we have to do things a certain way. This is a reverse process where we have the mind saying no, no, no to those things that we once did automatically without thinking. Or we even thought about them and did them because we thought we could not do anything but do those things. But by the process of renewing our minds, transformation can take place. And we can develop new habits, habits that are consistent with the Spirit of God. If we persist in filling our hearts and minds with things of the world, be it through the music we listen to, the programs we watch, the materials we read, the things that are counterculture to the Spirit of God, then this process of transformation will be stifled. It's true. Sometimes we're so focused, I'm afraid these days, on trying to find ourselves through whatever information or data we can gather and then try to formulate opinions about who we ought to be, that we forget. We forget. We don't have to find ourselves. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I'm found. I don't need to find myself. And if you're in Christ, you don't either. Your identity is in Christ. You're a new creation. You're in Him. He found you. He wants to lead you to be who He plans and purposes for you to be. At the end of the day, that's going to be somebody more like Jesus. One last thing. Again, the longer we've allowed for wrong thoughts to determine our course, the harder it can be to renew our minds. But again, we who are new creations, we have been given the Spirit of God to live within us, to dwell within us. And Romans 8 talks about now we can be controlled by the Spirit, not the flesh. Now we have power to move in a different way and to think differently. With the Spirit of God's help, our minds can be renewed. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, that we'll even be able to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. I shared with some of you that I've just recently began to understand the depth of that. I've had some thoughts, and I know they're not right, they're not proper. And when I recognize that, guess what you can do? My thoughts are not like your thoughts, oh God. I give you this thought. I want yours. You can exchange it. You can make it captive and surrender it to Christ. Make it obedient to Christ. If you're born again, you can do that because of the Spirit that dwells within you. Within the cocoon of our mind, we can reflect and redirect our thoughts. We can be transformed from the inside out.